Film junkies, how are we? As the world goes Joker mad, folie à deux. Anyway, as the world goes Joker mad, we are reviewing Monkey Man. This is the new film starring Dev Patel, directed by Dev Patel, story by Dev Patel, co-written by Dev, and produced by Dev Patel. What is Monkey Man? We've reacted to a couple of trailers. The trailers were sensational, beautifully edited, action-packed, slick. They felt inventive in their sort of use of violence and stunts, their use of found objects to hurt people. The trailers clearly indicate that this is a film about a man, a young man, seeking revenge against the killers. Of his mother, the killers and abusers of his mother. And to that extent, it's quite conventional in terms of what its plot is, what its shtick is, what the cut of its jib is, what its jam is. Its jam is pretty obvious. Its jam is revenge. This is a film that's been made by a guy who's clearly enthusiastic, driven, and, you know, is in every single aspect of this. You feel Dev Patel everywhere. It matters to him. And there's nothing nicer than watching a film where you can tell that the filmmaker and the actor, every part of this matters to them. You know, in an interview, he's talked about the fact they had all sorts of kind of budgetary issues, budgetary constraints, you know, things that were kind of going wrong. I think he broke his hand at one point, but they had to plow on. They couldn't stop filming and all this kind of stuff. Dev Patel plays this young guy who, his kid, he's called Bobby, or his Monkey Man. And he essentially makes ends meet by sort of, he's a wrestler. There's dodgy dealings. People are betting on whether he's going to win, whether he's not going to win. Lots of you feel this sense of this kind of, you know, loads of people around him are making money out of him, perhaps fixing the fights or throwing the fights and all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of who he is and what he does in the modern day. And then we obviously have quite classic sort of flashbacks to a sort of really horrible, sinister, nasty kind of, you know, character and set of characters who essentially murdered loads of kind of innocent people and one of them specifically abused and attacked and murdered his mother. And poor old Dev Patel, the child, kid, Bobby, he saw this happen quite literally through the floorboards of a room up above. But the guy who killed his mum was left with a sort of, you know, forever identifiable scar running through his ear. This is as the trailers indicated, this is a sort of self-confessed Bollywood twist on, well, Bollywood and the excesses of Bollywood and the sort of, and the choreography and the colour and the energy, I would say, the energy of Bollywood, much of Bollywood cinema. But it's also twisted and mixed with the aesthetic, if you like, and the sort of, the jizz. I hate to use that word, but it's kind of sometimes good. The jizz of John Wick. Let's not think about the jizz of John Wick, shall we? The jizz. Maybe we do want to think about the jizz of John Wick. I'm sure some people do. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, it's just getting down to that really kind of metallic engine grind. Oh, Christ almighty. So he's a fighter. He's a wrestler. He's got some capacity to kind of look after himself. You know, the production design is fantastic. The lighting is fantastic. The grade on this is really good. We talked about all of that with the trailers. You know, it's see if your pants sort of stuff. And as I sort of settled in, strapped my buckle in, got my Spielburger ready to eat, I was like, yeah, I'm up for this. You know, even though it's going to be about 2 hours, I think there'll be light and shade in there. There has to be light and shade in something like even an action movie so that you kind of, you know, you pause and you come back and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, one of the first sort of set pieces is this great moment where someone, you know, I think it's the baddie woman is sat outside a sort of cafe. And it's great. They've got a chap, sort of a disabled chap in a wheelchair who you wouldn't think would do terrible, naughty things, but he nicks her purse. And then we have this really quite sort of elongated and embellished and incredibly sort of Spielberg. Bergian. Do you remember in the Goonies when they'd sort of do the connecting things where a ball would drop and then it'd go through something else and then it'd go to the house next door and then it'd do something else. Incredibly elaborate sort of montage of shots of this purse passing through the shantytown of what it feels like it's not New Delhi, it's not Delhi, it's not Bombay, it's a fictionalized kind of Indian urban sprawl. And you've got this purse moving around and it's quite cool because it shows that in his own way, Dev Patel has the control of the chaos and the carnage and the poverty and the unknowability of the streets. He can curate, or he's, you know, he can find things and make things move through this incredibly sort of hostile and deprived environment. He can make it arrive where he wants it to arrive. So neat. And, you know, this film is a film in which there are two or three set pieces which are really quite, you know, quite beautifully executed and brilliantly done. So it's a neon-soaked action film set in India, and it moves through India. It's full of all the archetypes archetypes. You've got all the Bollywood tropes in there. You've got clear villain. You've got a clear stooge. You've got the comic shtick. You've got the comic presence of the sort of short, slightly tubby guy who I felt was thrown away. I mean, in fact, his funniest bits were in the trailer, and that was all we got in the film. In terms of his car, which I think is called Nicki Minaj, it was possibly the only real beat or moment of humour came from him, and he kind of vanished, really, for the rest of the film. And I think that's one of my key issues with this film, was that in terms of that light and shade, maybe it has light and shade between fight scenes and sort of spiritual moments, self-discovery scenes, but I felt I needed a bit more light and shade between serious... You can't take this sort of stuff seriously. I mean, yes, it's revenge, but we've all seen revenge films, and we know it's a film, and at the end of the day, it's Dev Patel, so... Come on, you know, it doesn't go deep into that stuff. And yet I felt it could have gone a bit deeper, actually, ironically, into humour. John Wick at one end, Bollywood at the other. And I have to confess, I feel slightly like it sort of sagged between the two stalls of these promises of Bollywood and John Wick. It just sort of sagged. It didn't fall apart. It didn't fall, but it just sagged. It neither sort of had the sufficient, I felt, tongue-in-cheek sort of charm. You know, many Bollywood films, you know, there's always a sort of an aspect of sending oneself up. I felt Dev was very serious. I mean, look, Dev Patel's face, I've said it many times before, I can watch him for hours. He's got an incredibly deep face. And actually just the shot, the camera just sitting on his face will infuse almost any scene with more significance than there perhaps necessarily was on the script or is necessarily in the sort of, you know, setting up of the scene. He's got a deep presence. He's got a very old world presence, and that does help. And so when this film does stop, and it's quite frenetic and it's quite full on, when it does stop and we sit with him, there are quite, you know, it's quite nice to be able to just kind of feel stuff. He doesn't say much. He kind of watches things happen and he gets involved, but he really doesn't say much. There's not an awful lot of dialogue. There were two action scenes. I thought the one which is featured quite heavily in one of the trailers is the action scene in the kitchen. I mean, that was fantastic. I mean, brilliantly inventive use of virtually every single item of kitchen paraphernalia and kitchen appliances. I mean, I was waiting for him to get a Maggi mix out and put someone's head, hand or feet in there or something. I really liked the setup. We kept coming back to his kind of wrestling monkey man sort of performance persona, which was interestingly the compare of that whole environment was the actor, what's his name, Sharlto Copley, South African actor who was famously in District 9. He was sensational in that. I've not quite felt he's kind of ignited in any other role, and he was good, but he felt like he was a bit dropped in there. And I do understand, as I understand it, I think Dev Patel approached the director of District 9 to direct this, and he passed on it, saying, I think you should do it, Dev. But maybe he sent him Sharlto Copley as a kind of, use him, he's great. But he felt like an add-on. He didn't feel quite realistic and endemic to the kind of Monkey Man world. I could have actually, to be honest with you, I couldn't get too much of that. I thought all the Monkey Man, it was all dusty, it was dirty, his mask was brilliant. It's an iconic sort of shot. It's the poster as well. It's an iconic shot, you know, sort of shaggy, shabby kind of, you know, head on one side, knackered out kind of Monkey Man. In another set piece, there was a really nice sort of fight scene. I can't remember. I think it was in one of the clubs. I mean, again, this really is that classic thing. It's lots of neon lit, very male orientated environments. I do have this description of films. I think that's possibly why I've never watched the John Wick films. There are certain types of films I describe as bachelor films or bachelor pad films. So like if you walk into a bachelor pad, which is like often like black shiny surfaces, you know, very male, you know, austere, not a lot, no books, but there might be an espresso machine, you know, a really sort of subtle kind of DVD player when there were DVD players, you know, nothing there, everything's wiped downable. You know what I mean? It's everything's sort of wiped down, and the bed sheets are black, which is a bad choice. This I began to feel fell foul of becoming a sort of Bollywood-like version of a bachelor film, a sort of bachelor pad film, the kind of film that if you were invited round to a mate who's like a mate, you know, come round my place, come on, let's watch the football later, get a takeout, and maybe we could watch a movie. This would be one of those movies, a John Wick movie, this movie, Neil, you know, lots of kind of clubs in which people, you know, there was a restaurant where you weren't choosing food, you were choosing women. And so, you know, there's this sort of, it's all set within the seedy kind of underworld of sex trafficking. And there's a lot of sex going on, actually. There's couples having sex whilst fights run around them and go around them and all this kind of stuff. So it's quite sort of bawdy, but not in a nice way, because, of course, no one having sex none of it was nice, if you know what I mean. So if I were in Mail, the sort of strip joint and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, and that denotes baddiness, so that it's not a film that says this is good. That's where it's set. But it just, I don't know. Anyway, but in one of those scenarios, there was a fight scene, a set piece, where I really liked the choice that Dev Patel made in the music. The music was incredibly emotive and slow. The action didn't slow down, the action carried on. But it brought it was really counterintuitive, and it was a nice counterpoint to the action that you had this quite sort of deep emotional, you know, the hurt of his mum and all this kind of stuff. So for me, ironically, the most emotional moment in this film was in the middle of a fight scene where the music was actually like, oh, wow, this is so counterintuitive. I'm feeling quite moved by this. Certain characters weren't explored. As I said, the little large tubby guy who he could have done with more of him. We needed more lightheartedness. We needed more fun. Dev is dour. Dev is serious. Dev is definitely depressed. And Dev is not happy. And when Dev's not happy, you need someone alongside him to cheer him up. And we needed a bit more cheering, and there wasn't that. There was one of the women, one of the sex trafficked women. You felt there was a connection between her and him. I could have done with a bit of romance, actually, not sex. It would have been nice if that connection had developed a bit more and her character had been developed a bit more. I mean, she was critical and crucial at one point. The evil woman villain, she was great. She was dark. She was frightening. She had the sort of, she had a real shadow over her eyes that kind of, on one level, I found kind of, and then on another, I was like, get away from me, because she was scary. But perhaps the most interesting aspect of this film, and this is really odd, when I travelled through India, I never really got a straight answer to this. I remember seeing men who were dressed in a very effeminate fashion in the streets, walking through streets. And if I remember rightly, I think our Indian fixer, the woman who was taking us around, said they were eunuchs, or there was this sort of subclass which sat outside the caste system. I don't know if there's any India of our Indian followers here can clarify on this. And there was a recognized kind of community or part of society that were in essence trans community. And so the part of this film that really shocked and surprised me, and I kind of found myself kind of scrabbling for kind of orientation, is the moment where Dev Patel's character kind of gets sucked into this kind of on the fringes of society group of Buddhist type sort of tantric kind of, you know, they're kind of hippies. They sort of live in the roots of trees. They're all hanging out together, but they're all clearly, you know, they're gender fluid. There is a gender fluidity there. The lead actor or the lead character that he deals with, who I thought gave a really, really tender performance. In fact, let me just get his name. I think the actor was Vipin Sharma. Beautiful, beautiful performance, really tender, really gentle, really nuanced, really meaningful, really. And this was a sort of, it was like a dreamlike aspect to the whole film, as we sort of, he heads off, he becomes part of this almost Robin Hood-like, kind of part of this band of kind of renegade warriors, but they happen to be really quite gentle folk. All of them wearing saris. Gender identity was difficult to pin down, and then you began to realise it didn't matter. We don't need to pin it down. This is essentially a trans community. And so this becomes a film, ironically, about trans people and a trans community in India. And I thought, God, I wonder how this will float. I wonder if this speaks to the thing that my fixer, when we were filming in India, was talking about, that there is this tolerated, accepted and sort of protected area of society. He then goes into this training. I got a bit confused at this point, because of course he's a wrestler, so he's a fighter, so he's kind of fit anyway. But then he's boxing and he's punching this bag, and then there's this one scene which is quite remarkable. I mean, I got quite carried away. I didn't know whether it was all meant to be euphemistic or whether it was kind of like a metaphor. But there's a guy behind him playing on the bongo drums so frenetically. I mean, frantically. And it was like, so you'd have moments where he'd be like, and then he'd look up, and then Dev Patel would be like, and then this would go on for ages. And then the bongo drummer started to sweat, and he looked exhausted, and he was like, oh, for God's sake, Dev, calm down. Dev starts going again, and then the bongo drummer's like, no, you're gonna go more. None of this is said. This is all kind of inferred with looks and beads of sweat and bongo. And it was just like, fucking hell, this. And it was an Eye of the Tiger moment. It went on a bit, and it didn't really work for me. I thought it was a bit ick. It was a bit cringe. But all of this leads to that moment, which I think I mentioned when I was watching one of the trailers, where you see this fantastic moment where what I thought mistakenly were women in one of these great big fight scenes towards the end of the film, as the great big sort of, you know, the great big kind of you know, the conflict, the kind of come together, the moment where he enacts his revenge and gets old Scar Ear and manages to destroy him. Suddenly all of his trans warriors come in saris with curly knives and all this malarkey. And that was fantastic. It was like, wow, this is completely transforming it. This is no longer a bachelor pad movie. This is fucking something completely different. What not to like about a bunch of sari wearing trans warriors taking it out on nasty cis heterosexual men who are basically there selling women and trading in women and all this malarkey. Fantastic. What great revenge. Love Dev Patel, but as I say, I think if I had a fundamental problem with this film, it didn't change its tone or its pace or its gearing. It stayed at the same level. I could have done with a bit more light and shade in Dev Patel's character. I think the film could have been a bit shorter. I think his narrative, I think we were in too many similar places. I felt like I got too much of these kind of flash kind of gentlemen's clubs where they're all kind of women dancing and all that kind of stuff. It felt quite claustrophobic, which in some ways you could say is quite good. I think if they trimmed 20 minutes out, if they'd given Dev, I think Dev needed a few more lines. He needed to say more. I needed to hear more from him. I wanted to feel a bit more from him. He's very reactive. He's very thoughtful. He's very troubled. I just wanted to kind of say, Dev, come and have a chat, Dev. It needed a bit more lightheartedness. He's clearly a very, very competent action director. Some of the editing throughout is sensational. The lighting is fabulous. I mean, specifically the lighting. The lighting camera work is amazing. You know, the sense of dust and the sense of real kind of space and air, you know, not that digital thing where you just feel everything's clean, everything's Netflix. And I get sick of Netflix. It all feels so AI sometimes, you know, especially in the wrestling scenes, especially in some of these down, you know, these seedy places. As I say, inventive use of kind of weaponry and all that kind of stuff. But in the end, it didn't amount to much more than being something that was kind of stepping in the footsteps or following in the footsteps of John Wick, just set in a different location. It's totally the sort of antithesis to Slumdog Millionaire. I hated Slumdog Millionaire. Everyone was getting excited about it. I thought it was really trite and really mainstream and shit. I'm not a fan of Danny Boyle at all. This is class. You know, there's class in this. There's skill. The script needed a bit of work, the story needed a bit of work. I think it needed to be less two-dimensional, less simple. I think the story needed to be, it was such a simple story of revenge, and it could have done with a little bit more grist and kind of complexity in there too, and a lightness of touch, light moments of humour, just to give us that kind of breath. But as I say, this curious kind of, you know, moment with the trans community, I thought it was sensational. I thought it was really different, really unexpected, and a refreshingly different feel to, in a weird way, the violence that happened with them all. Anyway, if I was to score this, what would I give it? I'd give it 60. Oh yeah, 60 out of 100.